Friend, we ought to believe that God is already responding. Isaiah reminds us that there will come a time that even before we call on the Lord, that he will answer. And when we have that kind of faith, prayer will bring miracles in our lives. Now, and the thing about prayer, I want to talk about for a few minutes. Let me get my Bible out of the way. Can everybody hear me okay? That means I got some amens. How many of y'all know you ought to respond to the word? One of our issues, I believe, in the church today is that we don't respond or acknowledge God as we should. Prayer and serving the Lord is like playing a game of baseball. If I throw it to you, you ought to throw back an amen. You ought to throw back a hallelujah. And that way we have communication, and the devil don't have any space to come in and do anything except get out of the way. Now, the first thing you want to deal with is, what is prayer? Prayer is not always what we think it is. It's not just calling words. Amen? Prayer means you have to have a relationship. Amen? You can talk to anybody and not necessarily have a conversation. Conversation means it's a two-way street going on. When you're talking to me and I'm talking to you, and you're listening to me and I'm listening to you. Now, prayer by definition is a devout petition to God or spiritual communication with God in supplication, humility, beseeching him. It is an earnest request. Now, we also understand that prayer is not always asking God for something. How many of y'all know when you pray, sometimes we don't ask for nothing, just tell him thank you. Because he's been good right by himself. Amen? And sometimes, because the Bible says that he already knows what we have need of. And Paul said that God will supply all of our need according to what? Not Bush, not Bishop, but according to his riches. And I came all the way down here to let y'all know that heaven ain't bankrupt. According to his riches in glory, by or through Christ Jesus. The other thing is that when we pray, we need to learn to pray with thanksgiving. We should not always go to God crying and sobbing and falling all over the floor and in a mess all the time. Sometimes, the Bible says we enter into his gates with what? And into his courts. That means when we come before the Lord, we have to come with a thankful heart. We have to come to let God know, I appreciate the opportunity just to talk to you. Amen. When you do that, you gain heaven's attention, and everything in heaven begins to listen to you. But when we go to God, we always pray. Even when things are going wrong, you have to muster up and find enough strength within yourself. Remember the last time you shouted. Go to God with that and say, I just want to thank you. Because whatever it is that we might be dealing with or going through, first of all, again, God knows that. And if he brought you through the last time, somebody know he'll do it again. Amen. Many of us today may be going through something, but if you think back, you've been through worse times. Didn't God bring you? Well, that same God is available today, and he's available through prayer. Now, the foundations we talked about last night of prayer and communication with God, most of us, or some of us, sometimes don't get the response from God that we're really looking for. Why? Because we're not going to God with real love. You can like somebody and not love them. Then you can love somebody and not like their ways. Yeah, because you know all of us ain't got the best of ways. Thank God they're better than they used to be. Hallelujah. Where's my nurse? Oh, can't get a handkerchief. All right. Now, one of the things I believe strongly in is anything that we talk about God should be based solely on the Word of God. When it comes to the things of God, our opinion don't really count. Your education don't mean nothing to God. You can have a PhD, but if you don't know G-O-D, you wake up in the morning crazy as a bedbug. Amen? So everything that we do must be based on the Word of God and backed up by Scripture. If it's not in Scripture, it don't count. Now, we also know that even in the times that we live, and the Bible says that in the last days that men will become weaker but wiser. We got some smart folk in the world today, but they're not necessarily saved. Now, when we come to God with thanksgiving, when we talk to God with thanksgiving, I want you to write these scriptures down. Psalms 95:2. And because this is a cram course, I'm not going to run through a lot of them. I'll give them to you in prayer that we'll study them when we get our study time. Now, notice I didn't say read them. You can read and not study. Nowhere in the scripture does it tell us to read the Bible. It says study to what? Show who? Y'all ain't talking to me in the back. Y'all too full back there? Y'all need to move up here away from them rows. Study to show yourself approved unto. You got nothing to prove to nobody. You cannot out-holy nobody. Do I have an amen in here? In the house of God, we don't have no lieutenant holies and sergeant righteousness and private religion. Or one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We show ourselves approved unto God. When we do that, then we gain the ear of God. And the Bible says that he is attentive unto our prayer. I want you to write down Psalm 104. Write fast. Take. Anybody got a short hand? All right. I have one of the members of my church who has a short arm, one of my ministers, and he said the Lord gave him that so he could be good in short hand. Psalms 107:22. Amos 4:5. Now, one of the things I want to share, the Lord was talking to me this morning, and sometimes God requires us to do things that we don't necessarily want to do, or necessarily please our flesh. Amen. But the Bible says that when a man's ways, he'll make even his. Anybody in here don't have any enemies? Let me see your hand so I can call you a liar. If you don't have enemies, you need to go find some. Enemies keep you on your knees when we don't want to be on our knees. Now, Amos, I give you Amos 4:5. Attitude in prayer is everything. Amen. And just because we say we're saved and because we're involved in church does not mean that you're saved. When you are saved, you have the right relationship with Jesus Christ. When you have the right relationship with Him, any time you pray, God will hear you. And He'll get in a hurry to answer you. Your attitude is everything. When you go to God, and you don't have to be on your knees when you pray. I'm praying right now and I'm standing up. Amen. When you go to Him with some thanksgiving, with some rejoicing. Amen. You may have a tear in your eye, but you have to have joy in your heart. When we learn how to talk to God, we don't have to worry the pastor with every little thing. Amen. Some folk can't operate unless they call their prayer partner. Now, prayer partners is fine, but the Holy Ghost is my partner. Amen. Because He's praying when I'm asleep. He don't take no nap. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When we pray, we need to have adoration. Adoration meaning that we pay honor to God. We reverence Him. We go to Him with fervent love and worship. Now, a lot of folk have to like to praise the Lord, but they don't like to worship the Lord. Let me get amen on this side over here. There is a distinctive difference between praise and worship. Worship is your intimate time. It is your personal time with God where you don't want nobody else involved. Now, when we was in the world, had girlfriends, boyfriends, we had this old saying, three is what? Three is a crowd. When we had, two is company, three is a crowd. Yeah. Mine don't work quite as they used to. When we have intimate worship time with God, three is a crowd. It just should be you and God. That you can talk to Him, He can talk to you, y'all can have sweet fellowship. When you can just love Him and He can love you back. When you with your boyfriend, or sometimes my wife and I, we have four girls, and our baby girl is at North Carolina A&T. And the rest of them grown. Thank you, Jesus. Tell me prayer don't work. And I told them, I said, now when the baby graduates from college, all of them will be out the house. My wife and I are going to move. We're going to give them $200 a piece, send them to the mall. And when they come back, we're going to have moved. That gives us time together. Everybody needs your personal time with God to talk to Him about things that you need to talk to Him about, things you can't tell nobody else, things you shouldn't tell nobody else. Now, you in your life, there's some things you just can't tell folks. Amen? Nothing moves faster in the church or the world than gossip. If we could get the gospel to move like we do gossip, you talk about turning the world upside down? Oh, we could make some difference. Amen. We got churches are fighting against each other. And we're all on our way to heaven. Somebody lying. Now, one of the things that I have been wrestling with for the past couple of years is that Jesus said that the straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Ain't but a few folk going to find it. If only a few folk going to mind it, why is the church packed on Sunday? And you notice it's usually packed on Sunday. I'm going to say it one more time. The church is usually packed on Sunday. So what's going on the other 6 days? The strength of every church is in its Bible study. Everybody can come to church on Sunday. But you got to make some effort to get here for prayer meeting, choir rehearsal, all those things. Sunday morning, that's the time for everybody to show off. Amen. Bring their new cars so Pastor can anoint it. You know, thank the Lord, little Chihuahua didn't get run over while he ran away last week and all those kind of things. But it's the extracurricular things that God looked for us to do, to learn to love somebody, forgive somebody. How many of y'all have been hurt in the church? Because you ain't been hurt till you've been hurt in the church. Amen. In the street, I mean, you know, you're going to do your business, you get over it. But in the church, it goes so deep. And it lingers, it hangs with you for a while. But God will bring us through it if we learn how to pray. Prayer, here we go. Prayer requires confession. Anybody besides me done wrong? Now put your hand down. Now let me say it again. Anybody here besides me done wrong since you've been saved? All right, just want to make sure. That means we got to go to God and tell the Lord, look, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just upset. I'm just plain mad. Now, understand something. Every time you get mad, it ain't necessarily the devil. You are a human being. We have emotions. We have senses. We have feelings. And you just get mad. The Bible said anger, but sin not. That means don't let it linger. Don't leave here cussing and come back cussing. You cannot pray and get through when you have attitude. It doesn't matter who it's with. Amen? Sometimes folks get mad with me because they're scared of God. And you ought to be rightfully so. Acknowledge your sin. Disclose your sin to God. Tell the Lord, I have sinned. Do it like David. Acknowledge my transgression. Again. Now, just confess last week. Now, I'm back again. And you don't have to be Catholic to confess. Somebody say thank you. You can't confess to the priest. I ain't talking. Anybody here Catholic? I ain't talking about you. We confess to God. Man can do nothing about your sin because he has sin of his own that he needs to take to God. But when we go to God and they tell him like David, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins ever before. Blot out my transgressions. All right? Everybody follow me? Prayer by experience is a conversation with the Lord according to the scripture. And pray often. Make your request known unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means we can't just pray anything. You can't pray religious sayings. I tell my folk, when you pray, don't get up talking all this, whatever they even call it, man. Just talk to God. And we ought not to be repetitive in our prayer. Some churches we go to and they call on certain folk to pray, you already know the prayer. They pray the same prayer every time they get up. That's not prayer. Prayer ought to come from the heart. As the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us, we speak the words. That way, what we speak becomes life. Amen? Now, you know you can speak life or you can speak, get up with a headache. Oh, God, I must have got a tumor. You just spoke it on yourself. Right? You don't have to always speak out of your mouth how you feel. Right? Get up and say, how you feel? I feel wonderful. I feel great. I feel good. And then when they leave, oh, my back hurt, but I'm fine. Praise the Lord. Because there are certain people who don't want you to feel good. Because when you don't feel good, it makes them look good. Makes them all holy, and you must be in sin because you're sick. And God punishing you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Amen? The Bible, God said in the Word, bring me in remembrance of my Word. But you can't bring him in remembrance of what you don't know. Did you not know half of every church only knows the scripture that pastor preached? They don't read. They don't study. You can't bring God, and let me tell you this, the 23rd Psalm does not work for every prayer. You got to know more than the 23rd Psalm. Write the scripture down, Isaiah 43, 25 through 26. And Isaiah 118, that's when God said, you bring me remembrance of me. Whatever it is you won't find in the scripture, tell me about it. And everybody here needs something. And when you find out what to tell God about it, watch what he'll do for you. He'll do it. He'll fix it like he said he would. All right? Isaiah 118. John reminds us in the gospel that which is born of flesh and that which is born of is. Many of us don't realize the authority that God has given to us as his people. Did you know you can command some things to happen and they will happen? How many of us here have ever prayed and got an answer? That's called authority. You don't have to run from the devil. You don't have to fight the devil. Amen? I'm going to tell y'all something before I sit down. I'm going to upset some of y'all and make some of y'all happy. But I got to tell you because the Lord said I did. And I'd rather obey God than obey man. Amen? There are certain situations in life that we endure. We go through our own gardens of Gethsemane. And we tell the Lord, if it be any other way, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, how many of us are willing to tell God nevertheless? Don't lie now, you go to hell. Never in the situation that you really don't want to do. If there be any other way, God, show me how to do it. But when you're really born again, you'll end up by saying, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And that's not a deal. That's not always an easy thing to do. Because, you know, we all self-willed to an extent. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. When Jesus was on the cross, one of his last utterances was, my God, my God. Now, notice he didn't say my Father. No, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In other words, however saved you are, and however anointed you are, and how much ever Holy Ghost you got, and however many tongues you speak in, diverse kind of tongue, unknown tongue, them other tongues, and all kind of tongues, it doesn't matter. Life confronts us sometimes with situations that require us to use our natural senses. Amen. I tell my folk, if I say to you good morning, don't be talking about shut up, I said good morning. I don't understand. I mean, you can't be holy like that. Go to bed speaking in tongues. Get up speaking in tongues. I wonder when they brush their teeth. Talk, talk, cheese, all salt. Also in prayer requires listening time. Sometimes don't ask God for nothing. Don't say nothing. Just sit there and listen. Because now God wants to talk to you. Praise the Lord. God wants to share some things with us that we really don't know. Now, that is going on in the world today and in every church. I've seen it more prevalent recently than ever before. That is a spirit in the house of God that's imitating the voice of God. And if you're not careful, if you're not sharp, if you're not prayed up, If you haven't gotten up, it will deceive you. It sounds just like God. How do you tell the difference? Because when it starts talking to you about stuff that ain't in the Bible, it's a deceiving spirit. There is and there will never be any new revelation. We're in a time of illumination, but there is no new revelation. God told John when he finished the book, close the book. Now, when you close the book, John, don't add nothing and don't take nothing away. And there are many things that's not in the book that have been done. That comes through revelation. One of the most important things that every church needs is the spirit of revelation knowledge. That allows us to understand what God is saying to this situation at this time. The 23rd Psalm doesn't mean the same thing to everybody. Amen? When the Bible says, Philippians 4:19, I will supply your every need, everybody ain't got the same need. Amen? Some of y'all don't need money. I do. I remember, and some of y'all probably remember growing up, we used to hear, and many things I learned in church, Pastor, were not right. I grew up right down in Beaufort at Queen Street Baptist Church, and one of the things we used to hear almost every Sunday, money is the root of all evil. Now that I'm grown, and you want to be holy, bring me your evil. I will dispose of it for you. It's the love of money. That's why I tell my folks, God tired of poor people. If he's a God of sufficiency, then we shouldn't be poor. But we speak it out of our mouth. Somebody says, Lord, I ain't got no money. You just spoke it. Life and death as well. In the power of your tongue. There are many voices that speak to us, but it's not always according to the word of God. If it's not according to the word, you need to discard it. Get rid of it. Speak those things that become sound doctrine. Speak love, speak life, speak freedom to one another. Exhort one another. Why do we always got to tear each other down? I got a used car, you got a new car. When your new car put in the lot, I'm going to be right behind you. Amen? Write these scriptures down. This is on prayer. Psalm 55:17. How many of y'all know you got to pray for your enemies? Those that despitefully use you. Now, in the spirit, meekness doesn't mean weakness. Okay? I like to consider myself as a pretty humble, meek person. But don't cross me. Don't take me for no fool. Amen? I see at my church all the time, I've been saved a long time now, getting up in age, but I ain't forgot how to cuss. Thank God he don't let me. But that old man, that old nature will rise up, and people have a way of pushing you. They're nagging you because they can. All these years, you ain't said nothing to them, but look, I'm on the edge. Don't push me. Hello, somebody. Some of y'all looking at it like ain't there. Nobody bothers me. Some of us got the kind of spirit attitude nobody wants to bother you. We have to pray for those that despitefully use. And they're in every church. You can't get away from them. You know, my mama used to call them nice nasty. Matthew 5:44. And Matthew 6:6. Pray in secret. And your heavenly Father will reward you openly. You can look around the room and find somebody to pray. You ain't got to run to them. And you know I'm praying for you. Pray and shut up. You ain't got to run around advertising how righteous you are. Don't nobody care. Hello? You can't prove to me how holy you are. Live it. Walk in it. Let Jesus said, let your light what? The who? May what? Not hear. See your what? And can't prove to me that you're holy. But if you live it, and my wife sang that song tonight, last night, made the workout done.
You ain't got to tell nobody.
A lot of people with the biggest Bibles are the biggest devils. But David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against." You can't prove your holiness. You got to walk in it. Luke 11:1. Now this is a very good scripture that I want us to read a lot. But the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." We don't know how to pray. And then when we think we do, we don't know what to pray for. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost who makes intercession for us. We don't know what to ask God for. We're so busy asking God to bless our family, we forgot about our neighbor. And when you talk to God, be specific. Don't give God this general prayer. Be specific. Talk to him from your heart. Tell him exactly what you need. I want the Mercedes 500 SL. Red for the blood. Understand, God has no problem with us having things. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and earth. And what happened? All of what? Things shall be added. But God don't want you to have a car that go everywhere but prayer meeting. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We hear the church praying for the sick, the shut in, the lame, the halt, the blind, crippled, 8 to 80. Won't you go see them? I tell my deacon, I said in our training class, don't be in front of the church talking about, "Lord, go down by the hospital. Hallelujah. Bless the sick and the afflicted. Stop by the nursing home. Look on the old people." I said, "Negro, you get up and go see the old people." They're sending God somewhere. He's everywhere. He told us, "Get up and go into all the world." Praise the Lord. Teach us how to pray. We need to be taught how to pray. And you know the old saying, practice makes it perfect. Amen. I want you to write down 1 Corinthians 14:15. I wish I had time to go into some of these. James 5:13. We're going to get to some serious stuff in a quick minute because we get down to James. Now, James says, if there is any addicted, because you know some of us, we're so righteous now, we forgot what we used to be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't remember when you was walking in sin. A time when you consider yourself to be a good person, but you didn't know God. You was as much of a sinner as anybody else. That's why we need to rejoice now, because we remember when we had no God on our side. Huh? And it was only his mercy that was keeping us. Because his mercy endureth. And to all, if there is any afflicted among you, call. Why we get mad with the pastor? We have been home sick 2-3 days and he ain't come to see us. Did you call? How many of y'all in here do not have a telephone in your home? Raise your hand. I don't see one hand. Now, if you're sick and you ain't called, why you mad with us? If I get sick, I'm going to call somebody. Now, it gets bad enough, they'll call for the rescue squad. And they won't pass to meet them at the hospital. Did you call him? And don't just call when something's wrong. Call sometime to encourage him. I enjoyed that word yesterday. Lord, the Lord used you mightily in my life. I don't know about nobody else. people don't do that.
Well, that's your job.
No, it ain't. You know what? I have a wonderful, saved, anointed chairman of trustee board. He looks out for his pastor. And he figured out, last year he was doing, he's in figures, he works in banking. And he figured out that I'm the lowest paid person in my church. I make less money than people on welfare. I hear y'all, poor thing. Now, that was calculated by the number of hours that I spend at the church. Not by how much I make. I don't want for nothing. Now, how many of y'all know in your prayer time that the church ought to take care of the man of God? Some of y'all are going, now, I'm not God. I do not understand sign language. That means you got to open your mouth and say something. The church is supposed to take care of the man of God. Now, what that means is that after we pray, we need to get off our knees, get on our feet, and do something about it. My pastor used to say, he said, I'm the only person in this church. He had a congregation of about 3,800. He said, I'm the only person in this church that has to go before the church every year and be scrutinized as to what I need. Y'all don't know what I need. Amen. All the folks sitting by the rolls say amen. All right, very good. Because if you don't, you ain't getting no rolls. We need to take care of the man of God. That's a part. Not only pray for him, but you do something about the prayer that you just prayed. I had a woman, one of my musicians, is also one of my ministerial staff. She used to have this famous prayer. And she prayed every Sunday. Lord, bless the pastor. And bless him in a mighty way. Every Sunday. Bless him in a mighty way. One Sunday, God spoke to her and said, write the pastor a check. She said, Lord, bless him. The mighty way dropped off because she became the way. Now she did it later on, but she stopped praying that name right away. No church will ever prosper, naturally or spiritually. And it don't matter how you look, how beautiful the buildings are. No church will ever prosper if the pastor's in need. And sometimes his need, money can't buy. Sometimes, you know what he needs? Y'all know, he just needs y'all to live right. That's all he needs, and be able to see that his preaching is reaching. When the preaching is reaching, then y'all are also teaching. Are y'all following me? See, we want to pray certain things, but you got to pray the whole word in order for it to be effective in our lives. Amen. One of the reasons that we prosper, I know, is because the church takes care of me. Anything I want, I just go tell them. And they take care of me. Now, I appreciate that. Because the Bible says that we are not to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. That means the man of God needs to be free to handle spiritual things. And not worry about how he's going to get his wife a birthday present. Because, you know, pastor's wives like nice things, too. I know mine do. And when she don't get it, I get it. You ever sense what your wife like nice things? I know. You do, Susan? She does? You know her? And you should have nice things. Amen? God wants his people to be an example to the world that he is not a deadbeat dad. If you're a child of God, he is your father. He's never been taken to court for non-support. He takes care of his children. Y'all still with me? Mm-hmm. Let me talk for a few minutes about the privilege of prayer. Now, God does not hear all prayer. Thank you, man. I got one amen over there. The rest of y'all just going. Isaiah. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 1:15. No, that's Isaiah. Can't use them all right. Isaiah 1:15 talks about a relationship with the Lord. In order for God to hear us, we must have a relationship. We must have a meaningful relationship. Amen. How many of y'all remember when you were a little younger? Maybe some of y'all now, I don't know, had girlfriend, boyfriend that you didn't marry. You didn't really want to be with him, but you didn't have nobody else. Some of y'all can remember. Some of y'all, I can't remember back that far. God does not deal in casual relationships, but meaningful, intimate relationships. That's when he will hear your prayer. John says, "For we know that God hear not the prayer of the sinner. But if any man will be a worshiper of him, him he will hear." And God is a spirit. And they that worship him must what? You can't worship him in spirit. You ain't in the spirit. The spirit's not in you. First Peter 3:7. You can hinder, we can hinder our own prayers. Now understand this as well. When you pray against people, God ain't listening to you. Somebody do you wrong, sick them, Lord. God's not a dog. He don't sick people. He loves people. He loves who we don't like. Amen? Then the word of God said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for what? The ungodly. We don't like to admit we were ungodly at one time. Ungodly simply means you was without God. And if you were not saved, you was without God. On your way to a burning hell. All right. Let's move on real quickly. We're still cramming. His ears are open to our prayer. Matthew 6:5. Luke 22:32. Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you, boy. Because you're hot-headed. You know, Peter likes to cut people. I think he had a little Geechee in him. he was hot-headed. He'd cut you in a minute. But Jesus said to him, Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. When you pray, you also must have some faith in what you pray. If you don't believe what you pray, then don't pray. You just call in words. All right? Now, Lord, how many of y'all know the Lord's Prayer? That's called the model prayer. Jesus said to them, when you pray, and this is where it gets deep. Tide rising now. When you pray, and we have to always pray, and faint not. Pray our Father. The watch in heaven. And you know, some folks can just make a mockery of the word. Ignorance is a dangerous thing. We have all these religious sayings where, you know, in some faiths they call the priest and the pastor the father. The Bible says don't call no man father. That's not what he's talking about.
No.
That's father with a little F. We got one big father. God the Father. Quit making a mockery of the word of God. Now, this is what I want to get to. If you are not saved, if you don't know Jesus Christ today in the pardon of your sin, and know that you've been forgiven, you should not be praying the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because in that prayer it says, thy kingdom, thy will. If you're not saved, you don't want the kingdom to come. Because immediately following the kingdom comes judgment. You ain't ready for the kingdom to come. So you can't even pray the Lord's Prayer. Did you know that? That's good news, isn't it? Can you say the Lord's Prayer? Let me hear you. Speak life. Speak positive. Speak the word of God. And watch what he'll do for you. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the woman whose son died. Anybody familiar with that? He was working in the field. Digging potatoes for K.W. Wright. picking blueberries out on Lennoxville Road. Cutting cabbage Oh, had that 101. And he got sick. So he said, I'm going home, I don't feel so good. And he got home where his mother was. Hey, let me tell y'all something. I love the Lord and thank him for my father, but ain't nothing like a mama's prayer. Mama was, she will bombard heaven to get to God for her children. Daddy get tired of her, he'll take care of you home. Mama will beseech, she'll stay right there on her knees until she get in touch with God about her family. Amen? Thank God for praying women. When she got there, the Bible said that the fella died. She told her husband, I got to go to the man of God. Let me tell y'all something. Be careful. Now I'm getting to the part that y'all don't want to hear, but I'm going to get there. Be careful how you talk to God's authority. You will curse your entire family. Your children will suffer if you don't honor the authority that God has put in your life. Did y'all know that? You ever wonder why children come here afflicted? They ain't done nothing to nobody. They come with all kind of diseases and spirits and stuff going on. Generational curses. Four generations. Because of our evil. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Babies that are born afflicted, they ain't done nothing to nobody. They just got here. But the sins of the parents. Not honoring God. Praise the Lord. When you disrespect the authority, the man of God, in your life, it'll curse your family. I tell my folks, if you don't like me, you can go to another church. You ain't got to stay here. There's enough church in Washington, D.C. You can go to any church you want to. Go be Jehovah's Witness. That way you ain't got to go to church. They'll come to you. They still make house calls.